So we are continuing our study of the Holy Spirit as mentioned in the book of Luke. We had a couple of scriptures that we already looked at last Sunday, and we'll just remind you of those. First of all, we looked at the last scripture in Mark that mentions the Holy Spirit. Then we looked at the version that Luke gives us of the action of the Holy Spirit that preceded his appearance and preceded the coming of Jesus. And then we see how his work unfolds along with the description of what Jesus is doing in the world as he becomes a man, and all of the differences that take place as a result of that. So the first chapter of Luke, we have the announcement of the coming of John the Baptist, and then we have the announcement of the coming of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, and then we have the time when Mary comes to the home where Elizabeth is waiting for the arrival of her son, who is to become John the Baptist. And I think we were down to the passage at the end of the first chapter of Luke, where we find that Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied concerning the Lord God of Israel. So, come on in. So we see here that the Holy Spirit is very active, and his work is recognized by Luke as he's trying to set the stage for, apparently, Theophilus, who apparently was a Gentile. We're not sure, but Theophilus is a Greek name, and therefore Luke here is writing for the benefit of someone who doesn't know as much about Judaism and the scriptures. And not only does he write the book of Luke, but he also writes the book of Acts. And we're going to find, I was just reviewing this morning, the times that the Holy Spirit is mentioned, not just in Luke, but also in the book of Acts, just over and over again. In the book of Acts, you see the Holy Spirit just working all the time. And his work is praised. And he leads people in the right direction. And he is always looking out for the welfare of the new people who are disciples of Christ. So we're in for, it's kind of a baptism of the Holy Spirit, as it were, as we see his work described over and over again. Almost every chapter in Acts has references to the Holy Spirit at work. But we're not there yet. We're still looking at Luke. Yes?
When Zechariah was told by the angel that he was going, his prayer would be answered, he'd have a child, the forerunner, you know, proclaiming Jesus, he didn't have the faith that Mary did. Mary accepted the message. And then he wasn't able to speak. Now, was it the Holy Spirit that prevented him from speaking?
Well, the angel announced that that was going to be the case. So since God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and angels tend to work together, I don't know which one actually did it.
Because he didn't speak until the child was born.
Absolutely. He didn't have a word to say. He couldn't complain about Elizabeth if she was having illness before the birth of the baby. He couldn't say a word. So some women would say, I wish that my husband had that same gift. Yes?
I think in that case, even though he did not say a word and could not explain what happened to him, I think him becoming like wordless, speechless, was a sign better than his words to everybody else, that he saw something magnificent, that something magnificent, some kind of communication happened with God. That's
Yep, I think that certainly is true. They were puzzled when they named him John, you remember.
Yes, that's when he first spoke out.
Right.
According to Scripture.
Why did he name him John?
The angel told him.
The angel told him, yeah, that the kid's going to be named John. So that was sort of out of his hands, yes. You want to say something else? No.
Some think that he was also deaf. In that birth incident, he asked for a writing tablet and others think that it also impacted his ability to hear as well as speak.
Yeah. Yeah. So we should never question the actions and the words of the Godhead. We find that to be the truth throughout Scripture, don't we? It's not a good idea to express doubt. Now, it's true that David, when he was writing the Psalms, at times did say, but Lord, why? What are you doing? Why aren't you doing something that I need for you to do? But he usually came around to saying, however, I believe you, I trust you, I love you. And so God considered him a man after what? His own heart, yeah. He really accepted David and his expressions of concern about where are you, Lord, when I need you. And so I believe we have that privilege of expressing our concerns, but we should not lose our faith. Faith of Abraham. You remember we had a course back a year or so ago where we talked about the faith of Abraham. And he is the epitome of those who do have faith, but at times have concerns about where is God when we think it's time for him to take the action that we need. Well, let's keep on going here. We find that in Luke 2, beginning in verse 25, there was a man named Simeon. And how does he fit into this story about the Holy Spirit? Does he have the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Said the Holy Spirit came on him.
Holy Spirit came on him, right? And how did that affect him? What was he able to say after the Holy Spirit came on him?
He prophesied very unpleasant things for Mary. And correct me if I've misunderstood, but wasn't he told by the Holy Spirit he would not taste of death until he saw the Messiah?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so the Holy Spirit apparently is communicating before the baptism with Simeon, maybe a designated purpose. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit is communicating this way.
Right.
And giving, I mean, the only way I can interpret that is he's speaking words enough so that Simeon understands he's not going to die. It's not sort of a feeling or an urge or a... no, there's clear communication here in Dan's funny opinion.
Right. It's true that there was communication letting him know that he was going to have the great privilege of seeing the Messiah.
Amen.
Before he died. Yes.
I think that Simeon was a just and devout person. There was something really good about Simeon. And when we consider where we're coming off of 400 years where
Amen.
God did not reveal mm-hmm. himself the way he has. It's the beginning of something. So here's another person who is a very good person. Somebody taught him to be a very good person. You know, there were people doing the right thing, and here's Simeon, another person that's done the right thing, and God's rewarding him by letting him live to see the consolation of Israel. It's just like a wonderful reward for what he was able to master in his life.
Right. So there are some rewards even in this life for being a good person. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit differentiates between people, but when you are living a life that is close to God, you are going to benefit right here. Now, you don't have to wait to get to heaven in order to have some benefits. Let's go on then to the next one. Luke 3, 15 through 16. Notice, as the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ. Was there conflict? Was there doubt about whether John might be the Messiah? Yes.
We're often reminded, get used to different. And John is very different in word and deed. And so it's getting people's attention. And he's a rather fiery preacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So he's certainly different, but he is warning the people about what's going wrong in that society. We need more John the Baptist, I think, in our day, because we need to have warnings that get publicity about where our society is going to. So I see some nods, but you're agreeing that we do need to have this kind of teaching and preaching. So did this make him unpopular?
Yes, most definitely.
But unpopular with whom?
Those who didn't want to believe.
Right. People who were in charge, who should have done something about all this, they were not happy with him. But people came out from all over, not only to listen to him, but to be baptized, which is a response to the condemnation.
What's the baptism with fire?
What's that?
What's the baptism with fire?
Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? He says that the one who is coming after him, he says, I can't do this because I'm baptizing with water, but when the one who comes after me is doing his work, he's going to baptize with the fire.
Holy Spirit and with fire.
That's right, the Holy Spirit and with fire. So, he is making it very clear that he is not the Messiah, but that he has come to be a forerunner of the Messiah. I'm not recognizing everybody that raised their hands this morning because I want some of the others of you to participate in our discussion. So don't be embarrassed about being normal. Just speak up and ask a question if you want to, but I might not recognize you if I've already said something. Okay? Anybody want to say something? Want to ask a question? Yes?
I guess back to where Simeon was, that I didn't hear it mentioned that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ.
Right, and I thought I had mentioned that, but anyway, this was a direct communication he had that said, you are going to live long enough to see the Lord. Not very many people in the Bible were given that kind of a promise. So he was certainly a very special person. Anybody else before we move on to the next verse? Yeah.
I guess this set of verses gives me the clue to a bigger picture that the people recognized that Christ was coming. This verse gives evidence of that. So later when we see where people are rejecting and not seeing Jesus for who he was, they should have been able to, because already people had enough evidence in their mind as to what to look for. And John was beginning to fill that picture, but he wasn't the person.
Right. And the fact is, of course, that since everybody, I mean, the Bible says everyone came to hear John and to be baptized, and then when people didn't readily accept Jesus, you'd say, what's wrong here? They had this, of course, I know they did not have television. They didn't even have radio. They didn't even have printing presses. But everybody came. They not only listened, but they were baptized. They understood, they thought, what was going on. And John said to them, now listen, I'm not the Messiah. I'm the forerunner of the Messiah. And yet, as you point out, the Messiah was yet to come. But we're getting close. we're getting close here to where he's showing up. And we did mention about him saying that he's going to forerunner not only himself, but that Jesus is going to baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now the question, of course, always comes up, did Jesus baptize anybody with fire, so far as we know of, in the days while he was in his public ministry?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Key word, yet.
Yeah. That's right.
Perhaps metaphorically in Matthew 23.
Well, he certainly talked about it. Yeah. So the question here would be, is John a prophet?
Sure.
John's a prophet. And he's talking about things in a prophetic sense. He's talking about, just as Jesus did, Jesus talked a lot about things that had to do with what were going to come after he was no longer on earth. And this morning we were listening to Luke. I love the oral presentation of the book of Luke that Luba has on her phone, because the lady, I think, has a Scottish accent. And I think that my parents, back about 95 generations ago, must have come from Scotland. So I have kind of a favorite language that I like to hear. But the way this is being read, it has the idea that Jesus is telling them things that they probably did not understand, because he was talking about the destruction of the temple, talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and here they were here. The temple was beautiful, and Jerusalem was a thriving city. It was being populated with people who believed in God, because they were all Jews. They were there for many feasts and so on. And yet when Jesus talked about the hereafter, this went over their head. They didn't seem to understand at all. But Jesus was also filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3, I've already referenced this, when all the people were baptized. Notice, when all the people were baptized.
All that had come.
Well, yeah, it's kind of hard to be baptized if you're not there, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But the idea here is that it was pretty universal. The people were stricken by what John was preaching. Word of mouth, they showed up to be baptized there in River Jordan.
Now, do you think these are the same people that followed Jesus around?
Well,
like the multitude of people that were always around him?
Certainly some were. I mean, it's pretty hard to rule out a lot of them, because all the people were baptized, he says, and then coming on his heels. In fact, they actually had the same period of ministry. You remember, John was put in prison while Jesus had already started his ministry. So yeah, I'm sure that there were some who were in both camps, as it were. And so it was one of these things about where the Holy Spirit was hitting people like two barrels of the shotgun. They were hearing from John the warnings. Jesus came right behind him saying, I'm here. Listen to me, because I'm coming as the Son of God, and I have come to proclaim to you the fulfillment of all the prophecies. Yes?
You just mentioned that all people who heard Jesus were baptized, and I remember the story that David's dad told us, that he taught a lot of people in the country where he's going to.
Guyana,
and then one of his students taught his village, and everybody, am I right,
mm-hmm.
in that village were baptized. You would think that this is like from the miracle, because I wish we had those kind of teachers that could just talk to a group of people and they would all say, oh, let's run to the church where there is water or to the river. We're just so much in need of those people that could inspire.
Yeah, that's right. Yes,
baptism with fire represents purification.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Does the baptism with fire represent purification, not to keep myself pure?
Destruction of all that's evil, yes. Purification, winning away all of the dross, and all you have left is a pure gold. Yes. Yes.
Who's an example of people that got baptized in fire?
Well, it appears to me, and I'll be glad for all of us to contribute, when you talk about the baptism of fire, I believe it has to do with the end of time, when everybody will be overwhelmed by fire if they are not one of his. Because the book of Revelation certainly talks about that. Anybody want to comment further? Yes.
Sure. Be reminded in Luke chapter 16 that the rich man was, according to Jesus, deathly in torment. Yeah. He was not in a happy place. And he would like a little water. Of course, he'd not done what was right in his physical life and had large benefits, air conditioning in his house and plenty of food and lots of servants and, you know, and maybe his chariot would had a lot of GPS on it. And yet, nevertheless, when he passed, he still passed, just like poor old Lazarus, and he was in torment.
Right.
Before the end of the world.
Right. And, of course, there is some speculation about, was this a true representation of reality, or was this a parable?
The Gehenna of fire is a true representation of reality.
That is, yes, sir.
And Jesus said, cut off your hand, cut off your foot, you don't want to go there. Matthew.
Right, okay. Would you like to say something?
Yep, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 13, says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up.
That's
at end times. And Peter goes on to say, be ready.
Yes.
You know, you don't have a second chance. If that's right. Not a baptism, I don't know what is. Because there's just no way to escape that heat.
Right.
Except for the Lord to take you.
Right. Any other comments? All right, then let's move on. Now, Luke 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Is this the first mention of the Holy Spirit and Jesus?
No.
No. Anybody remember a mention of the Holy Spirit and Jesus?
When he came up out of the water... After he was immersed, the Holy Spirit came down in the image of a dove.
Right. Yeah, this is
how John the Baptizer recognized mm-hmm. this was the Son of God. And the God himself spoke at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody heard.
All right. So when Jesus was still in utero, was the Holy Spirit involved?
At his conception,
yeah,
was there. But I went back and looked at that verse because it doesn't really spell out. But it says the Holy Spirit. He's talking to angels, talking to Mary. This is Luke 1:35. Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born and called holy. So we know the Holy Spirit was part of that whole piece. The Holy Spirit, God, the whole works.
Right. So the story about Jesus and the Holy Spirit is a rather lengthy story. Let me suggest...
From Genesis.
Yes, that's where I was starting. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, the Holy Spirit is there, right? The Holy Spirit was hovering over everything. Who else was there?
They said we.
And the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
And that's in the book of John, and he points out that he's talking about Jesus. So Jesus in the plan of God, I do not know, believe me, I don't pretend to know everything about all this. But I do know from what the scriptures say that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God, the Creator, were all present at the beginning. Probably had been present before the beginning, whatever that is. So now what you have, when you look at all of the what's said in the Old Testament, as we have read, and what is being said in the first few chapters in the New Testament, we see that the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God have all been present and working together from the beginning up until this point. And we must say, in the future, he is still there with God the Father and God the Son. Okay? So I want us to keep seeing this, that the Holy Spirit is real and he is in action even today. He has not lost his power. He has not lost his existence. He is in the world and he's also in heaven and wherever else God chooses to be present, the Holy Spirit is there.
He's not a created being.
No.
No, he was always present because he's part of the Godhead. If he's part of that Godhead, he has always existed.
Right. Yes, sir.
And in the beginning means the beginning when man's time, because we're the only ones controlled by time and the clock and the minutes and all that mess, because the Godhead was before time. And will be beyond what we call time.
Right. So it's not like a human being. I mean, we all can date our existence back to a beginning. You may have asked your parents, where did we live when I came along, when I was born? And they have said, well, we were living in Indianapolis, Indiana, or in Sacramento, California. That's where you were when you were born. But that isn't the case with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. They have always been. You remember what God told Moses his name was? I am. I am. And he says, that means I have always been. I still am. I always will be. He is the one personage that can actually say, I have always been and I always will be.
It says that even in the depths of the sea, God is there.
Yes.
The Spirit is there.
Yes, yes. He is there wherever. We can go down there in a submarine and he's already there. We can go up in space. He's already there.
Universal.
Huh?
Universal.
Universal, that's right. He is universal.
So,
yes, sir.
I'm casting back my mind to the beginning of the lesson where you said you highlighted on language and translation. And so
and you're going back a few Sundays, aren't you? You're going back to some previous lessons.
Yes, you.
I love it.
Yes.
I wonder if anybody else remembers.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because you laid the foundation, you know, translation, words, and I'm trying to cast my mind back, and it appears to me that the way some words were captured here, either the translation, the way it has been translated here, because you just said, based on what other contributions, when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit, you know, came upon him in the form of a dove. If the Holy Spirit has always been present with Jesus, then I'm finding it difficult. Maybe the Holy Spirit only manifested himself when Jesus was baptized, because he was always with Jesus. he was always with God. But perhaps those who wrote the Bible or those who translated, you know, used words that to us may be a little confusing.
I can see how that is confusing. That's true. The idea, I believe, that Matthew and, well, the gospel writers, what they were trying to do is to say the people needed to see with their eyes and their ears the reality of the Holy Spirit upon this man who now is being announced as the Son of God. And so God showed them by the dove and by the voice that they should accept him for who he was. That's the way I see it. Does that make sense?
Not.
Yes, brother.
Additional thoughts related to what Seth is saying. Think of the idea of energizing. That's one idea to think about. But go back and recall that in the kings of Israel, there was an anointing.
Yes.
Samuel went to Jesse's house, and then that oil was an anointing. And then David became quite different. And so think of this as perhaps energizing Jesus. He was thankful in some of his prayers to the Father for being enabled to do the signs and wonders and miracles. He told the people, "Believe. If you don't believe my words, believe the signs. My Father testifies through the signs, you know, signs, wonders, and miracles." I'm thinking... he's leaving the carpentry business, he's energized, and he's going to begin the Father's business for 3 years and eventually become our Redeemer and sacrifice his life.
All right, so, I'm not sure exactly to what extent the energizing was taking place by the arrival of the dove, but certainly he did come out of his experience in the wilderness with a lot of power and a willingness to use that power for his Father.
Okay. How did they know that was the Holy Spirit? The bird didn't come down and say, "I'm the Holy Spirit." So how did they know?
They were watching for one thing.
I think they knew because they recognized that the Holy Spirit was with Jesus, and this was an identifier showing the crowd this is who Jesus is. I like what you were explaining. Otherwise, does the bird come down? The bird didn't come down and say, "My name's the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to do this."
The voice
as well.
Yeah, the voice came after the so that made a stamp. Like, and then, okay, this is the Holy Spirit, and God is speaking with us right now about His Son.
Jesus said before He died, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Did the Spirit lead it?
Well, I think that on the cross, yes, he experienced the loss of God. When he lost it, when his soul left his body for whatever time he was in paradise, he was separated from God, which is a terrible thing. I mean, to him, who had the eternal presence of his Father with him, and then for this short period of time there, it must have been terribly like hell for him to experience that departure of the Spirit. Well, our time is up, and we did not have time to get everything done. So can we get a clock that goes slower?
We'll have to wait.
It just needs to be older.
Older, did you say?
It slows down. Older slows down.
Well, I understand about it slowing down as you get older. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful that you are always with us. You have promised never to leave us. Sometimes we leave you, Father, and that is a time when we get in trouble. But Father, please bless us and help us that we might be faithful to you Help us to understand that your Holy Spirit does indeed reside within us, that he is always wanting to help us remain faithful to you. Thank you, Lord, for his help. Thank you for giving Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for our sins. Thank you for promising that we will have an eternity with you in where you choose to take us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now next week, we're going to finish up the references to the Holy Spirit in Luke, in chapter 4 of Luke. And then we'll move into the book of John, which has some of the meatiest part of the talk about the Holy Spirit. So I hope you'll enjoy that. I will send you the lesson from John today. Well, it's not today, at least early in the week, so that you can be studying that. Anything before we leave? Thank you.